Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowen, and Pastor Adam Mosier wrap up their discussion on Article 3 of the Formula of Concord and look at a New Testament passage and its application. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowen, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Mosier.
All right, welcome back, guys. We're on our 8-part episode arc. Yeah. What did I not say the other time? Yeah. We're talking about the third article of the formula today. It's our last Bible study episode on 1 Corinthians 1. All right. Any other things you guys want to say?
Any other banter?
Preamble banter.
Yeah. No, not for me. I have nothing to say. I want to hear the word, Brett.
Mm.
What about you, Jason? Jason's got something to say. Jason claims that he's not going to speak this episode. I gave Jason a hard time.
You did say your name.
I did. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I gave him a hard time about always being the last one to speak. And last week, there's so many places to go, you know, with Romans chapter 1. But it's over now.
Yeah.
And we are now on to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, which is also Paul. It's also the Holy Spirit-inspired scripture.
Yeah.
And I want Brett to read it.
All right.
How do you feel about that, Jason? Two thumbs up.
Hey, this isn't a video podcast.
Thankfully. Plump professors. Pasty plump professors. That's what I wanted to call it. Anyway, go ahead, Brett.
Nice. All right. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. Let's just see how many minutes Jason can go without talking on this episode. All right. For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you who were wise according to worldly standards, not many were powerful, but not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Here ends the reading of God's word. All right, Adam, what do you want to talk about here? No.
Well, you know, I mean, clearly what we're seeing here is that, I mean, in order to become like God wants us to be, you know, we need to be humble. You know, I think the more humble we are, like you, Brett, you know, that we would, you know get God's attention, help him to recognize that we are really benefiting the kingdom of God just by our humility. And in that, God's happy.
You're just causing me physical pain.
I'm just baiting Jason. So before you shut off the podcast, that is not what I believe to be true. No. Jason, what do you think?
What my favorite part of this episode is, like, the paraphrase of verse 26 is, let's be honest, you guys are idiots.
Not many of you were powerful.
It's, you know, he doesn't...
If this was a Norwegian, you know, Paul was Norwegian, you know, kind of that Scandinavian humility, it would be like, not many of you are, not many... Literally none of you are. I just wanted to make you... And I didn't want to go the whole way and say that.
Didn't want to slam the door in your face, but it's firmly shut. Paul, in his description of the gospel in the early chapters of 1 Corinthians, doing the same move that he is with Romans, but here he's ruling out the possibility of any kind of righteousness coming from us. He's like, okay, you guys aren't Christians because you are smart or powerful or good-looking. any of those things,
which is very good news for us, Jason.
The portly, pasty, whatever.
Plump, pasty professors.
Yeah, that one. But this is a theme from the Old Testament. What Paul is pulling forward is, you know, God says, lest you think that you conquered the promised land on your own power. You know, he says this in Deuteronomy. He does it with Gideon. It's, we are not permitted to find ways to take credit for the powerful acts of God. Yeah. And this is true of the gospel.
It's the same thing with calling Abraham out of nowhere. You know, he was just, you know, just why him? Why that? Why the people of Israel?
And
you know,
yeah,
not because you're special. Not because you're good looking.
And Jewish tradition, not only is, you know, Abraham, but Jewish tradition is that he worked at an idol shop in Ur, where he sold idols. It's not like he's just some random guy. It's like, no, you're all the way over off the end of the spectrum.
Yeah, yeah. Brett?
Yeah.
No. Were you gonna? I thought you were gonna say something.
No.
Yeah. So all of this despising thing, Godchild's was low and despised in the world, meaning despised in the sense of like nobody's even gonna listen to you. It's not only are you not there, but it's like you are even in the eyes of the world, you're nothing. Like you're just there's nothing that you're bringing to this table, But we are brought to that reality only to recognize that because of Jesus, we can't boast in ourselves. It's removing anything that might give the impression. And that sounds offensive, doesn't it? Like, you are so unattractive and unskilled in anything whatsoever. You are so dumb. You know, sounds super offensive, except for the fact... nowhere in that incoherent rambling. Yeah. Is there anything that could be remotely considered a rational thought?
To understand these words, what you should do is imagine the voice of Michael Scott speaking to Toby.
But we think of it like that, and we think of it as offensive. But the entire reality is there's a law in gospel. To this. Yeah. The law is you need to shut your mouth and you can't boast. There's nothing that you bring to the table. You can't argue your way into the kingdom of God that you brought something of merit to the table. But the gospel side of that is we are ones who I think if we recognize on the opposite side of that, we realize it's true. I bring nothing to the table. In fact, anytime that I think about bringing something to the table, I recognize some impure motive or thought or, some weak effort or some inability there. And we recognize, but if it's Jesus, then I can have comfort. It's a comfort thing. Recognizing that it's not about me boasting. It's not about my abilities, but I can be quiet and I can boast in the Lord because there is my confidence. There is my assurance. There is my peace.
You know, what you just described is what happens in Romans 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I compare myself to law. I would not have known what it meant to covet unless the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Mm-hmm. And every time I look inside myself, I see sin. I hate the very thing, that cycle.
And who will rescue me from that?
Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Mm-hmm. ... For there is
even a ... He launches into it. Yeah. You know, for there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Well, there's one verse between wretched man that I am.
Right.
Yeah. And he said, there is no condemnation.
Yeah.
And that's what you're describing here, Adam, is the same thing going on, is you are worthless. And in fact, you are less than worthless. You are actively negating your value. You are adding negative value to your case on a daily basis. Anything done apart from faith is sin. Romans 14, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus did this for you. Mm-hmm. Because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because of him, from him, out from of him. Him.
Yep.
Through him.
Yep.
Like that idea of coming out of, you know, out of his effort, his motivation, his will, because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. Not because of your profound ability to believe, your intellect, your good-lookingness, or whatever. It is because of him you are in Jesus, and Jesus became to us, or on our behalf, right?
All those that list
wisdom, righteousness, things, sanctification, redemption.
Yep. Yeah, all the things that he just described, you are not, you get in Jesus. And you know, again, we cannot fully drive home the point that none of these are intrinsic in us. We don't get to look at the law and say, I got pretty close. we don't get to say, well, you know, I'm doing this a little bit. We can't even say God gets us 99.5% of the way there, but that last half a percent is up to you. Mm-hmm. Because there's no room for intrinsic value.
It also, it prohibits the after salvation. I've heard kind of this mentality, and I've actually heard individuals describe it this way, that God in salvation, he's the one who puts you on the rock of salvation. He puts you on the, he carries you to the precipice, but it's slippery. And you got to be careful lest you might fall off. Like, okay, but what does this text say? It says, yeah. Okay, so now, you know, Jesus has become to us wisdom from God. He's become our righteousness, our right standing, the putting us on the rock. But it also says he's become our sanctification. So not only is he our righteousness, not only is his perfection our perfection, but his working in us is our growth in Christ. It's that whole process. Any growth or staying upon the rock, if we want to use that silly illustration, although it's been used, that is him too. That's Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. We forget that the gospel is part of sanctification as well.
Yeah.
In that.
Well, and it, but because the gospel is communicated to us in terms of assurance. Mm-hmm. And all this is to say, goes back to our first episode in this Bible study arc, is walking away from Christianity or disqualifying yourself from salvation isn't an accident. It doesn't just randomly happen, and you're not going to get to heaven and be like, oops, well, I had no idea, right? there's more to it than, I tripped and slipped on the rock of salvation and water slided my way back down into the crashing surf. Now, if you look just at what our sinful nature contributes to the equation, and going back to that rock analogy, God places me on the rock of salvation. My sinful nature is running and diving back in because the gospel is so offensive. I want to contribute to it. I want to have something to do. I want to take credit. And so we need everything in Jesus. Now, there's kind of building with that, there's a subtle move, is that somehow, some way, some shape, some form, we turn the words in Jesus into our behavior and sanctification.
Yeah. And that was one of my questions here from this text is, he says, let the one who boasts in the Lord.
Yep.
I guess what does...
This is exactly where I'm heading.
Okay, yeah. What does it look like to boast in the Lord?
Well, the boasting in the Lord, hopefully we'll tack that on in the end. It's the in the Lord that I want to do. It's, okay, ask a random member of the Church of the Notorious GAC. It's been a while since we invoked that. The generic American church. Okay. How do you know you're in Jesus? Brett, I'm asking you this. I'm putting you on the spot.
You want me to pretend to be?
Yeah. What do you think the answer is? Is if I ask you, Brett, member of GAC Community Church in suburban Austin.
Chicago.
Whatever.
Sorry.
It's right across the street from Willow Creek. Names. How do you know you're in Jesus? What's the nature of the answer I'm going to get, Brett?
Probably something about the way I'm obeying and I do my devotions every day I go to church. Yeah.
Works, performance, right? Okay. We just said that can't be the case, but literally in the words, in Jesus, we are inserting ourselves into the equation. Just think about how ridiculous that is. Now I want to point out, and hopefully this is where we'll get to the boasting, you are in Jesus Christ. That's baptism language. That's what that is. That's baptism language. So Galatians 3:27, anyone who is in Christ has anyone who's been baptized in Christ has put on Christ. In Christ is that you are connected to Jesus, that what he does is for you. That happens in baptism, and that's what keeps this from being subjective. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps this objective, fully assured. Well, how do I know I'm in Jesus? How do I measure my in Jesusness? What do I do? And it's, well, God gave you that too. That God made everything that Jesus did for you, yours in baptism. That's where you have been buried with Christ, and you've been raised again with Christ in baptism. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Galatians 3, 27. Here, Colossians 2. It's over and over again. That's what the words in Jesus directs us back to our baptism, because it's not us doing something for God. It's God doing something for us. And so then we to answer your question, the boasting in the Lord— I'm saved not because I'm a good Christian, not because of anything I've done. I don't even particularly have a strong faith. I boast in the Lord because he's done it all for me. He's done it all for me. That's what it means to boast in the Lord, that my salvation, God gets all the credit.
Yeah. To say it another way, that in Jesus is not, it is binary. It's either you're in or you're out.
Yeah, it's not degrees.
It's not a degree of, you know, it's like, it's not an ingressive or kind of, I'm moving into Jesus. That's not the language at all.
No adverbs involved, too.
No. Yeah. it's just you're either in or you're out. And the inness depends, as this text declares, entirely on Jesus. Everything that he does and nothing that you do. And that is a profound comfort, because it truly does give us this freedom to love like him, our neighbor, right? To in a way that we know that if we are in him, if we've been baptized into him, that means we have an old nature that died. That's what Romans 6 tells us. If we've been baptized into Christ, if we are baptized into Christ, we are Abraham's offspring. We are heirs according to the promises of God. So all the promises made to Israel in the Old Testament of God's blessing and provision is ours. It's something that we can understand belongs entirely to us. If we are in Christ and been baptized, so our old nature is dead, we are given the new identity. Our new nature is raised to life, and we are new creations. The old has gone, the new has come. And all of those things, so in that portrait that God sees of us, what he sees in that baptized and redeemed new life, he sees the perfect Jesus, which means that there's nothing more to do. I tell my students all the time, I said, how do you be a better Christian? Right?
Than Jesus.
Well, you have to be better than Jesus was. Right? And if you can do that, by all means, you work harder at that. But unless you can outdo Jesus in goodness and righteousness, and then forget about it and recognize that he in your place stood condemned so that you can be in him the righteousness of God. And as such, then yeah, absolutely, your life changes in some ways. It doesn't mean you're perfect, Romans 7. But yeah, you're a new creation. That's what the text says. And you are given a new motivation, new right heart to love, and to care for your neighbor, to do the things you ought to do. And again, then Paul, if it was just that, we would panic, except for, like I just said, Romans 7. You know, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me? There's that, you know, that flesh still wants to rear its ugly head. The Bible explains that. Yeah, no, you are in Christ. You are fully there. You're fully on the rock. You're fully set there. You're fully secure in Christ. You have nothing to worry about. I didn't realize. Yeah, until I said, nothing to worry about at all. No thing to worry about. And Jason's loving this, that I just discovered what a word meant. But you have the reality of saying, you know what, but yet you still recognize we're still in this body of flesh, that we still recognize we wrestle with the old nature that still rears its ugly head at different times. And yet we are still declared righteous. He still to us is our wisdom from God, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. He's all of those things.
Well, and that's gets us back to the topic at hand, what you're talking about. You get a new nature, you get a new desire. What justification, what salvation, what this righteousness does for us is it reorients us to our neighbor. It reorients us to God. And remember, righteousness is to be rightly oriented. And so it's not the degree of moral quality or performance. It's, you know, what we've said, it's that we're rightly oriented to our neighbor. That's where we put our good works. Mm-hmm. And we don't put our good works before God and hope we get lucky. We give our neighbor our good works because God has taken everything, care of everything we need for life and salvation. This is what we do. And I'm prepared at this point to get a little bit of pushback on being so insistent on the objective nature of in Christ. Hmm. You know, because there is a good percentage of the Protestant church. You know, this isn't even just notorious GAC. This is Protestants and even the Roman Catholic Church, where we crave the uncertainty. You know, the in Christ, we want a little skin in the game. We want moral performance. But this passage rules it out, because if you're going to focus on you are in Christ Jesus, you miss the first four words of the verse. Hmm. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. This is the nature of the righteousness of faith. This is the nature of our salvation. This is the nature of our justification. It cannot, it will not, it must not be tied back to our performance, or we lose it. We are in Christ because of Him. We are saved because of Him. We are who we are because of Him. And that's what we've got to keep returning in defense of the gospel and in proclamation of the gospel.
Right. Yeah. And it's subjective in the sense that it's happened to us.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Not uncertain.
Right.
Not in degrees.
Right.
But it's personal.
Right.
And that's what we've got to clear up.
Yep. Yep.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on the formula of concord. If you would like more information about the Bible School or the seminary, please visit flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.